Welcome to the Grace Community Baptist Church Podcast. Following Jesus together is our motto. That is why we are proud to present Pastor Brandon Bullock online for all to enjoy.
Book of John, chapter 15, and we're going to pick up our study, and we intended to wrap this up last week, and we didn't succeed, so hopefully we get there this week.
And if not, we'll say we always thought we were going to. We'll save it for the next week. All right. Get all wired up here. All right, John chapter 15, as we continue our study here, we've been talking about abiding in Jesus Christ and what it means to truly abide in Him and what the results in our lives are when we abide in Jesus, and that is bearing fruit, right? Jesus said, if you abide in Me, you will bear or you will bring forth fruit. So let's pick up John chapter 15, and I just want to read again those first five verses there. John chapter 15, pick up in verse number 1. We'll recap a little bit, and then we will strive forward to the new material this morning. John chapter 15, verse number 1, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me ye can do nothing. Let's pray together. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your perfect word. And Lord, thank You for this opportunity that we have to gather together, Lord, to worship, Lord, Your holy name. Lord, to fellowship with You, Lord, with each other around Your word and in Your word. Father, we ask this morning that as we look into Your word, Lord, that You would just open wide Your scriptures for us. Lord, reveal more of Yourself, more of who You are. Lord, more of who You would have us to be. Lord, show to us the hope, the promise, and Lord, the life that we have in You. Father, I thank You for this great privilege that You've given me. And Lord, to minister Your word. Lord, I confess that. Lord, I am so unfit, so unqualified for this task. Lord, I'm nothing without You. Take, I pray, this broken vessel, Lord, and use me for Your glory. Give to me, Lord, Your Spirit's fullness, Your power. God, I just ask that You would love and minister to each heart and life through me this morning. God, in everything I pray that we would be turned to You. Lord, that we'd be fixed and focused on You, or that Your name would be uplifted, and that Your name would be glorified. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been talking about abiding in Christ, and what it really means to be abiding in Him. It means that we are living for Him. It means that we are continually striving to know Him more and to draw ever closer to Him. We talked a lot about how abiding in Jesus and bearing fruit for Christ is a process, right? We don't automatically bear all of this great fruit. In the same way you plant a tree out in your front yard, you're not going to bear fruit the next day. It's a process, right? It's progressive. Fruit comes from a life that is steadily and patiently and faithfully lived for our Lord and for our Savior, abiding in Him, for He is our life. And as we do that, we then begin to bring forth fruit in our lives. It's a process that requires pruning, doesn't it? We talked about this last week. Notice with me in verse number 2, where it says, every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, what does He do with it? He purgeth it. That word means prune, right? It's like you go out into a field and you prepare that field, and and you plow it, right? And when you plow the field, you're getting it ready, right? You're kind of getting rid of the debris and all of the stuff that is going to hinder fruit from growing in that field, right? It takes pruning. Pruning can be painful sometimes, right? What pruning is doing is it's cutting away the things in our lives that are hindering growth. So many times we want the fruit, we want the life that God has for us, but we don't want the plowing and we don't want the pruning. But listen, you can't have one without the other. Jesus says that he's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, but that abundant life requires pruning. It requires plowing. It requires you and me abiding in our Lord and our Savior. We've really focused in our study on the truth that we can do nothing without Jesus, right? We are just vessels. We are instruments, and we have nothing without him. We have no life without him, right? Serena does an awesome job on the piano, doesn't she? How well does that piano play right now without her there? It can't do anything by itself, can it? It's just an instrument that through the talent that God has given her, she gives life to when she plays it, right? In the same way, we are instruments for God's use that he gives life to when we plug in to him, all right, when we abide in him, okay? Without him, we can do nothing, but the Bible goes on to say that we can do all things through Christ, for he is truly our strength, all right? So we're trying our best to abide in him, to continually live faithfully for him. And the promise is that as we abide in Christ, that we will begin to bring forth fruit. And this is where we left off last week, is looking at this fruit that God has promised that would begin to be evident in our lives as we abide in him, right? We spent a couple weeks now talking about abiding in him and bringing forth fruit, but we haven't talked much about what this fruit is. What does this fruit look like? All right, Jesus says a tree is known by its fruits, right? You look at a fruit and you know that this is a certain kind of tree. These are fruits that begin to manifest themselves in our lives as we're plugged into him, that tells to those around us that we are followers of Jesus Christ. The first fruit that as we begin to abide in Christ and as we get plugged into him, the first fruit that will begin to be manifest in our hearts and in our lives is Christ-like character. Okay? The first fruit that will begin to be manifested in our lives, that we begin to bring forth and to bear for his glory, is Christ-like character. I want you to notice that as we look at this, spiritual fruit begins in the heart. Okay? Growing in Christ, abiding in Christ, begins in the heart. So often people look out at the world and say, well, we got to get these people to wear different clothes. And we got to get these people to listen to different music. And we got to get these people to go to different places to hang out. But listen, changing your behavior doesn't change what's on the inside, does it? Right? You can reform somebody and get them to change their habits, but only Christ can truly transform. And transformation does not begin on the inside. It begins on the outside, all right? All of the changing of habits and behavior is useless if there is not first the change of character and heart on the inside. And that begins when we begin to abide in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And tell you that creation that begins not on the outside, but on the inside. All right? Spiritual fruit begins in the heart. What is God's ultimate plan for the life of a believer? His ultimate plan is to make us to be more like Jesus, isn't it? You'll find it in Romans chapter 8. Look there with me. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29. Romans 8 verse 29. Verse 28 gives us this awesome promise that all things are going to work together for our good and for God's glory. And we like to stop there, right? We like, all right, good. Good in our lives. How many of you like good things in our lives? Amen? We like it. But let's continue the thought. Let's continue what Paul is writing here. And he says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That word predestinate, big fancy spiritual word. In this context, what it means is this is what God wants for your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. What does he want? He wants you to be more like Jesus. His ultimate plan is to mold and shape us to be more like him, okay? So as we follow Jesus and as we abide in him, the outcome is us bearing the fruit of Christ-like character on the inside. That's where this transformation begins, okay? Developing Christ-like character. Now, as we then bear the fruit of Christ-like character, the next fruit is the logical progression of this, and it's not only developing Christ-like character, but developing Christ-like behavior, right? Developing Christ-like behavior. You remember from last week, don't you? Awesome. See, he was paying attention. As we follow Christ, and as this Christ-like character begins to manifest itself, it's only logical that it will begin to show itself in the life that we live. And that's what we're talking about here. It's an inward change that manifests itself outwardly for all the world to see. What is the predominant feature of living a life of Christ-like behavior? If you look at the Gospels and you study the life of Christ, if you were to sum up the life of Christ in one word, what would it be? I wrote down my word, but if you have a different word, that's okay too. Like Family Feud, top 10 answers on the board. I would say love. Amen. Everything that Christ did was motivated, was driven by one thing, and that was love. The mercy that he showed was driven by love. Him coming to this earth in the first place was driven by love. When there was a woman caught in adultery and all of these people were gathered around her and they cast her before Jesus' feet and says, the law commands us to stone her, but what do you say? They were ready to put her to death. And what did Jesus do? Did he show condemnation and judgment and criticism, or did he show love? Love. Amen. One thing. One word. And that is love. So what one word then should characterize us living for Jesus Christ and living a life of Christ-like behavior? Is it looking out at the world and saying you're all condemned and things like that? Or is it looking out at the world and showing love? Is it looking at each other and trying to tear each other down and criticize each other? Or is it looking at each other and showing love? I would venture to say it's love, isn't it? Right? Jesus came to show us the love of God. And he's shown us the love of God so that we might in turn show the love of God to each other and to those around us. All right? Living a life of Christ-like behavior is dominated by living a life of love. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me. As we're abiding in Christ, we're bearing fruit. That fruit begins with Christ-like character. It's a change of heart. That change of heart begins to manifest itself outwardly. That's change of behavior. I love what it says in Ephesians 5. Have you ever played follow the leader growing up? Anybody? Right? You follow the leader, someone who's leader, and there's some things that are involved in this game. It's a very complex game. Not really, but you follow the person in the direction that they're going, but that's not enough. You do the things that they're doing as you're going in that direction, right? That's the idea that Paul has as he's writing this verse in Ephesians 5, verse number 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That word followers means imitators, right? That means go the direction that he's going and do the things that he is doing, right? We're to play follow the leader with God. And he tells us what that means. Notice with me verse 2. And walk in judgment. Yeah, love. Yeah. Not criticism, not judgment, not condemnation, but love. Love. How many people do you know that would warm up a little more to Christianity if they saw a lot more of the love of Christ rather than a condemnation of holier-than-thou Christians? Amen. Living a life of love is living a life of Christ-like behavior. That Christ-like behavior then begins to go forward even more, and it begins to affect everything that we do. I love what Peter writes in 2 Peter, and we spent several weeks going through this list, but I just want to kind of refresh our memory here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, as we're bearing fruit, we have Christ-like character, we have Christ-like behavior, and Peter really sums it up well here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. He says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith," all right? Start bringing forth fruit, if you will. What kind of fruit manifests itself as we follow Christ? It's virtue. That means excellent living, right? How many remember that? Excellent living. Add to virtue knowledge, right? That's not only knowing, but it's doing. It's practical knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance, that's self-control. Add to temperance patience, that means you're holding on to God no matter what comes your way. Add to patience godliness. I found a really cool definition for this word. It kind of blew me away. It changed the way that I look at this verse. That word godliness means living in light of His glory. Constantly living in awe of Him and who He is. That's living a life of godliness. Living that way will affect the life that you live. How many of you remember the bracelets? It's been, man, several years ago, the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Remember those? They need to make a comeback. I think we should start wearing them. And basically, that's what that means, okay? Is you're constantly living in light of Him, living in awe of Him, constantly saying, well, how does God see this? How does God view this? What would He think about what I'm doing? Living a life of godliness, and add to godliness brotherly kindness. That means we love each other, we're nice to each other, we're kind to each other. And add to brotherly kindness charity. Charity is best defined as love put into action. All right? That's the icing on the cake. Okay? That defines what a life of Christ-like behavior looks like. So we're bearing fruit as we follow Christ. What kind of fruit are we talking about? Christ-like character, right? Developing Christ-like behavior. Secondly, or thirdly, as we follow Christ and as fruit begins to manifest itself in us, we have Christ-like character, right? Christ-like behavior. We're constantly living our lives to the best of our ability, and by the power of His Spirit living within us, we're trying to live a life that reflects Him well. The next logical step then is the fruit of bringing others to Jesus Christ. Bringing others to Jesus Christ. All right? Look at Matthew 28 with me. Matthew chapter 28, we find what is known as the Great Commission. And it's Jesus' followers spent all of this time following Jesus, and He's ready to ascend into heaven, and He's giving them the work that they need to be doing. And basically what He tells them to sum it up is this: go and bear fruit. Go and bear fruit. And what kind of fruit is He talking about? Bringing other people to Jesus Christ. Look with me, Matthew 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," that means make disciples, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Go and reproduce followers of me. Right, that's what He's talking about. As we follow Christ, the fruit that begins to manifest itself in our lives is us bringing other people to Jesus Christ. I love as you read in the book of John chapter 1. Turn it over there with me. Jesus in John chapter 1, his very first followers are beginning to come to him. John chapter 1, verse number 35 begins this conversation with some followers, and Jesus asks them some questions. But then we pick up in verse 40, it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What was the first thing that Andrew did after he began following Jesus? Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Right? He brought him to Jesus. He says, I'm following Christ, and the fruit that begins to manifest itself in me is me bringing other people to Jesus. There with Andrew began with bringing his very own brother to Christ. We bear fruit by bringing others to Jesus. Fourthly, as we abide in Christ, the next fruit that begins to manifest itself in our lives is the fruit of praise and thanksgiving. The fruit of praise and thanksgiving. Look with me at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I believe that you cannot abide in Christ, holding on to him, following him, without breaking forth into praise sometimes. Amen. It's the logical overflow of abiding in him. It's the fruit that begins to manifest itself in your life. The fruit of praise, the fruit of thanksgiving. All right. Fifthly, the fruit of giving and sharing with others will begin to manifest itself in our lives as we follow and as we abide in Jesus Christ. Look with me at Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is preaching, and all of these people come to him to be baptized, and he warns them, and he says in verse number 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, show your repentance by the life that you're living, right? Don't just let it be words that you're saying. Don't let it just be this thing that you're doing. Make sure it's genuine, right? Show it with the life that you live. Now notice verse number 10, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Now notice verse 11, he answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. What's he saying there? Share. Yeah. Give to those who need. A fruit of our repentance, a fruit of us abiding in Jesus Christ, is a softened heart, so that we may look at those in need and not say, hey, why don't you go get a job? But rather look at those in need and give. 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 I believe that if anybody ought to be giving, it should be Christians. The Salvation Army does a wonderful job at this. I love to see their trucks, because I love the saying that is on the truck. It says, doing the most good. And that should define who you and I are. Constantly trying to give and help those in need. I know some people will try to justify not giving by questioning whether or not people really are in need. But Jesus doesn't say anything about that. He just says give. And I believe if we give to those that we see that are in need, God will take care of us, right? God will take care of us. So he says, give. The fruit of us abiding in Christ is giving. I want you to notice as we continue on here, is all of these fruits are rooted in a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, right? These fruits don't begin to manifest themselves just by flirting with Jesus every now and again, right? It's a deep rooted relationship with Jesus Christ that brings forth these fruits. And I want to notice that these fruits manifesting themselves in our lives are the keys to living a fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus said that he came so that we might have life, and so that we might have what kind of life? Abundant life. Everlasting life as well. Abundant life. He says, I've come that you may have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Well, how would you define this abundant life in Jesus Christ? I'm going to throw out a few words, and we're going to look at how these fruits bring out this fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. How many of you would say living a life of assurance and confidence and blessing, a life of peace, and a life of provision signify living a fulfilled life? How many of you want those things in your life? Amen? I would say, I want those in my life. Sign me up right now. Listen, as we bring forth fruit, as we abide in Christ, these things are the logical overflow of that. All right? You see, bearing fruit for Jesus Christ is what we were meant to do. It's what he has ordained us to do, is what the Bible says in John chapter 15, in verse number 16. Jesus came so that we might have abundant life, and this abundant life is found when we abide in him. I want to notice here how these fruits develop this abundant life. First of all, as we abide in Christ and as we begin to bring forth the fruit of Christ-like character and Christ-like behavior, this begins to give us assurance and confidence in him and in our salvation, right? As we develop these fruits, it testifies to us that we are abiding in him, that we are truly his. Notice with me back in 2 Peter. Let's go to 1 John. We've already been in 2 Peter. Let's go to 1 John with me. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. Where it says, he that saith he abideth in him, what have you been talking about for the last 3 weeks? Abiding in him, right? You say that you're abiding in him, what's it say? It says, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's developing Christ-like character and Christ-like behavior. And that gives us assurance and confidence that we are truly abiding in him. We then see that bringing others to Jesus brings assurance and joy. It brings assurance and joy. When Jesus was following or calling his disciples in Matthew chapter 4, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we have the assurance that we're following him when we begin to then do that, bring forth the fruit of bringing others to Jesus Christ. And as we do that, it then brings forth joy and blessing in our lives. Joy and blessing in our lives. Look over at Psalm 126. We'll start wrapping this up here real quick. Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What the psalmist is saying here, you picture the seed as being the word of God. And as you go forth and you're spreading the gospel, you're telling others about Jesus Christ, you're living your life in a way so that others see Jesus in you. The Bible teaches that you will come again rejoicing, that you will bring forth fruit with rejoicing. Okay? So as we bear forth the fruit of bringing others to Christ, that brings assurance. That brings joy. As we bring forth the fruit of praise and thanksgiving, that brings joy and peace into our lives. Look over at Philippians chapter 4, and this is where we're going to wrap it up today. Philippians 4 with me. How many of you know how to worry? Amen. I think I've got my master's degree in worrying. I'm working on my doctorate right now. But the great remedy to worry and to anxiety and to care is giving thanks, worshiping God, and seeking His face. Notice with me, Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now what is the overflow of that? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see the fruit, or the overflow of us bringing forth the fruit of praise and thanksgiving is living lives of joy and living lives of peace. You see, worship changes our focus. Worship changes our focus so that we can have blessing, that we can have joy, that we can have peace no matter what our circumstances are. Worship changes our focus so that even if our circumstances remain unchanged, that we can have peace in Him. Jesus said that in the world we will have tribulation. That means problems. That means there's going to be trouble in our lives. But He says that in Him that we will have peace. And He says to be of good cheer, for He has overcome the world. Over the last few days, people have been asking a lot of questions, some of them regarding peace, some of them regarding God. With the recent tragedy in Connecticut, with all of the children being killed and the teachers being killed, it's like you, I've ran the full spectrum of emotions. I've gone from anger and rage to sadness and depression, trying to wrap my mind around what's going on. And I've had conversations with people, and I've had people ask questions. And basically the three main questions I've been asked and that I've heard asked are these. Where's God in times like this? Why does God allow these things to happen? And how can we change it? I don't stand here with all the answers, right? Nobody has all of the answers. Nor do I try to pretend like I know why God does what He does. He is so far beyond me. But there's some things that I do know. And maybe as you begin your work week next week, maybe things that you can talk to some people about. The first one is this. I believe that the question that we should not ask is, where is God during times like this? The question should be, is where are we during times like this? And if you are a follower of God, you are His child, you know where the Bible promises that you are in whatever situation? You're in the palm of His hand. Right? You are in the palm of His hand. When we go through, how does this relate to what we're talking about? As we go through difficulty, as we go through tragedy, as we go through situations where we throw our arms up and say, I don't know what is going on. Have you ever been there? Remember where you are during times like this. You are in the palm of His hand. And He said, nothing, no one can take you out of His hand. He said, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Secondly, How does this change? People have talked about stricter gun laws and things of that nature, and I'm not here to sway you one way or another wherever you stand on your gun laws. I'm not trying to sway anybody. But I believe the answer to what is going on right now is not stricter laws, but rather a change of heart. A change of heart. You see, we've so pushed God out of everything. Our hearts have become cold and calloused. What we truly need as a people, as a nation, is a change of heart. Laws can't do that, but God can. So as we go through this difficulty, as we go through darkness, as we bring forth this fruit of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving, that changes our focus a little bit, right? And doesn't give us all the answers, but it allows us to say, you know what, God is